It's interesting. You remember yesterday, we had the feast of John the Baptist, the last and greatest of the authentic prophets of Israel. Today we have our Lord's guidelines on how to discern prophecy. He doesn't look right at the prophecy, he looks at the prophet, which is interesting. This is zeal for the word of the Lord, you know. This is wanting the Lord's word. Now we have a marvelous example of that in the first reading on this Wednesday of the 12th week. This is the story of how the book of Deuteronomy was found. Deuteronomy is the Greek Deuteros Nomos, the second law. It's this summation of the material that is in the first four books as we have them now. Obviously, it wasn't too clear. The canon, as we know canon, had not been formed yet. It was just known by instinct. After all, it's not like our day. There's more printed material produced in Washington today in one day than there would be in Israel in a century back then. But the priest Hilkiah, you know, found the scroll as they were cleaning out and working and reconstructing the temple under the guidance of King Josiah, a very good king, very devout king. So they brought it to him. And it's probably from chapters 4 to 29 of Deuteronomy. And it's a work of the northerners, probably, summing up and adding. See, the tradition is, at Sinai, Moses gave the Ten Commandments. And he had all the rest of this, but he saved it and gave it. Deuteronomy starts off, Moses is just on the other side of the Jordan. He's not allowed to enter, remember, because of his sin. And so he preaches, he gives all this. If you're getting ready to go into the land, you need to know the rest of what God has told us. And so you have this book of Deuteronomy summing up in exhortatory mode. Huh? The others are very legal texts. Here you have the legal text, but in an exhortatory way. Huh? And the book of Deuteronomy is pretty big. They all stood and listened to it. And they were so glad to know God's will. They were so happy to know God's will, so they could do it. That's remarkable, isn't it? That's what our Lord is talking about in the Gospel. Who are the authentic prophets? Those who really want to know God's will and to do it. That's what prophecy is all about, isn't it? Those who were called to prophet, the gift of and the vocation of prophet, always studied other prophets. If you think you have a gift of prophecy, a very precious gift for the church, then study other prophets. Jeremiah studied Hosea, for sure. The vocabulary, especially of his early period, is redolent with Hosea. Ezekiel studied Jeremiah, for sure. Joel studied them all. That's what it means to be hungry for the Word of God. You see, it means I really want to know what God thinks and what God says and what God wants me to do. I really want to know how God looks on reality. And so I'm going to study the Word. That's how prophets are born. You see, from the Word. It's true that the Lord can give prophecy anytime He wants, but like real prophecy. And that's why our Lord says, look out. False prophets, they come looking like they're prophets in sheep's clothing, but they're wolves. They're going to destroy the people. Don't listen to them. How am I going to know the difference? Look at who they are. Look at who they are. Anybody who's zealous for the word of God wants God to be first, not himself. Anybody who's zealous for the word of God loves God's people. Prophets are not angry people telling the people to shape up. We use this a lot. Oh, he's a prophetic figure. I don't know, doing something. No. The heart of prophecy is to share God's love for his people. That's why they risk. You know, Jeremiah was told by God, the people are going through religious ceremonies, they're going through religious activity, but their heart is far from me. They're unjust to one another, they're committing adultery, they're false. And they come here with these religious practices and think everything's going to be okay. I want you to stand in the front of the temple and shout out that this is wrong. Would you like to try that? If you didn't love God's people, would you do that? No. Go down and stand in front of the national shrine and tell everybody, look, God says, don't bother to come here unless you want to change your heart. But say it with love, not anger. That would be something, wouldn't it? Now, who would do that? Oh, some angry nut might try it. But by their fruits, you'd know them. You see? It's a message of love. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of turning people from the evil that will kill them and speaking about the truth. And so we have this text, you see. And so, who loves God's people? Who loves all God's children? Who is speaking out? Words are important. Who is speaking out in a way that will turn God's people from destruction? Surely all those who are saying that abortion is wrong, that's mass murder. And saying it clearly. Go down and pray in front of an abortion clinic, you know, is a prophetic gesture. Out of love. Out of love. To speak up in your own family when somebody's going off. Out of love. It's God's people live by prophecy. The word of God must be alive. It must be there to guide, to instruct, to encourage, to illuminate, to help. It's the word of God. And that's what our Lord is saying here. Beware of false prophets, because they've taken this gift and perverted it. They've tried to act like they're gifted by God to say something to God's people, and they're not. How are we going to know the difference? Look at their lives. Do they love? Do they put God first? Are they willing to risk, or does it have to be in a kind of comfortable situation before they'll prophesy? It's important, and this is instruction from the very word of God himself, telling us, how can you tell when somebody's carrying me, the word? It's very precious. And we should pray that the word of God, you remember the threat that God issued through Amos? I'm going to make the word of God scarce. People are going to look here and there for the word of God. They won't get the word of God because when I gave it to them, they didn't listen, they didn't obey. Now they're not going to have it. Let them see how tough things are when you don't have anything to guide your life, when there's confusion and half the people are saying this and this is going wrong, and how do you get through all this? The Word of God. That's why people read the Scriptures. Know the Word of God. Have a feel for the Word of God. You know? I remember, I don't remember the whole thing, but it comes back to me this way. I was in Nick's, which was the center of jazz down in Greenwich Village 100 years ago. I don't even think it's there anymore. And we would go in there and listen to the jazz, really good jazz. We'd be the fellows from the big bands who played uptown until 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, and then they'd come downtown and really play. And so, you know, you sit at a table there, and the people at the next table are closer to you than the people at your own table, you know, the way they have those little round tables. So this guy was sitting there, and this fellow was playing. You know, the way they do, they jazz, they jam, they, you know, somebody feels it hot, they want to play, they make room for him, and you know, the way they, like, Irish music does that too. And so this guy leaned over and said, "You think that guy's good?" I said, "Yeah, I think he's great." He said, "Nah. He's thinking about the next song." In other words, he wasn't totally into this. He was having fun and showing off, but he wasn't like really playing. See, but it took a prophet to discern a prophet. You see what I mean? Now, jazz is not as important as the Word of God, but you get the idea. If you want to, you know, if you want to know, you got to be familiar. And then your criterion is, does this person love God's people? Is this coming from love? The Word of God from God always comes from love.